Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towns of Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive, and it is positively on. It's football season for real. And if you don't believe it, you can watch football on Thursday night. You can watch it on Friday night. You can watch it all day Sunday, or you can do what we're going to do. Wait till Sunday night. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour next week at the Beaumont on the 16th on Tuesday. That'll be after Joe Flacco comes to town. In the meantime, we are shuffling off to Buffalo, and Luke Jones joins us now. He's been out at Owings Mills all week long. It's all brought to you by our friends at GBMC. We're calling it the GBMC hotline here. We've also had some a little bit of men's health issues, but we're going to be talking about health issues. And how about injury reports and health issues, Luke Jones, in the GBMC injury report around here? Jaire Alexander, exactly what we were concerned about when they signed him, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was good to see him back on the practice field. We're going to see, and John Harbaugh gave it a we'll see, was pretty tight-lipped. And I actually think there's some legitimacy to that. I mean, we know that there was a reason why he was available in mid-June and why he was available for $4 million. When this guy's been healthy, he's been one of the best cornerbacks in football. The Green Bay Packers paid him accordingly several years ago, but we also know availability is paramount. And for whatever reason, whether it was partly, obviously his knee was bothering him. It's the PCL injury he suffered in late October last year that cost him, really the rest of the season. I think he tried to play through it for a time, but
Really, probably cost him his future in Green Bay, right?
I mean, and let's be clear, he's had other injuries, right? I mean, he's played more than seven games just once in the last 4 years, but again, that's why he was available. And we saw with the Packers going out and getting Micah Parsons, it's not as though they're rebuilding or anything like that. They're clearly all in trying to win a championship, but Jaire Alexander just has struggled to stay on the field. So he's back on the field. I think there truly is a one, how does he look? And I think two, how does he feel? Keep in mind, he had that knee drained 4, 5, 6 days into training camp. And then he hadn't practiced since August 9th, as they were trying to manage that thing. So you want to be prudent and cautious in August, and I understand that. So maybe he will play. Maybe he will be fine. Maybe he'll play, I don't know, 17 games would be bold, but let's say he plays close to a full season. But we also know about the possibility that he doesn't. And that's why they also have Chidobe Awuzie. That's why they still have Marlon Humphrey. That's why they have Nate Wiggins. That's why they have TJ Tampa and Keon Martin, who made the team. So they're hoping that they have enough depth, but certainly he factors into the upside for a defense that, let's face it, I mean, the expectations are very, very high, based off of how they finished off last year as well. Through the first 10 games last year, they had what, the worst pass defense in the league, or certainly one of the worst. And over their last 6 or 7 games, when they made the changes at safety that they made, they had arguably the best defense in the league over the last month and a half of the season. So expectations are high for Zach Orr's unit. Certainly Jaire Alexander was a low risk, high reward kind of a play, where it's $4 million. Even if he only ends up playing 5 or 6 games, it's $4 million. It's not going to cripple you from a cap standpoint long term or anything like that. But we'll see on him. That's really the only question on defense. That's literally the only player listed on their injury report on the defensive side. But
That means
certainly
it's a
we,
good training camp so far.
yeah, so far so good, right? I mean, it's wild, and you know how much I talked about this. From the moment, even before last season ended, we talked about how incredibly healthy they stayed last year. And other than the timing of the Zay Flowers knee injury, right? I mean, it was a 3 or 4 week injury. It just happened at the worst possible 3 or 4 week period. But beyond that, they were so healthy. I mean, the most notable player that ended last season on IR was Arthur Millette, right? And no disrespect to him, but he was a sub package
Dude,
player.
when you're 9 months out and you played a playoff game without one of your starters, and we're still talking about it, they weren't, it's not even anything to even discuss because there's nobody in the league that was
No.
healthier than them last
And
year.
right. And no one's going to feel sorry for you. I mean, as I've said, I think you very much could make the argument it's the healthiest they've been in franchise history. And you could already argue that they've already dealt with more. I mean, going back to losing Ardarius Washington back in the spring. So, but that being said, And understanding the war of attrition begins officially this weekend and will continue in the Ravens case, they hope until early February. I mean, that's the goal, but they also, I think you have to be realistic to expect, yeah, you're going to deal with some more injuries than they did last year, inevitably. But, Alexander, they signed up for that. So again, it's not shocking. It's not surprising. Hopefully he can play. If he does play, I think he's going to be on a pitch count, especially this week. I mean, big time. I would expect Awuzie would probably still start, or at least, at the very least, it'd be a 50-50 split at best for their snaps. But we're going to see. They obviously have until Sunday night. But the other two big names, the one not unexpected, I mean, Isaiah likely is not going to play. We said from the moment he got injured, it'd be borderline miraculous if he was back for week one. So he's not going to play. But the one that we hadn't talked about, but has lingered here over the last couple of weeks and has lingered even into this practice week, is Patrick Ricard. Now, John Harbaugh a couple of weeks ago kind of gave the stock soft tissue injury answer that you hear in August because there's no injury report. And John's just hoping that, that they're minor injuries. And typically they are when he describes it that way. But calf injuries are tricky. Calf injuries are tricky for veteran players. For veteran players who are on the bigger side, they are a high setback rate kind of an injury. So it'll be interesting to see if he's out there. And when you're already talking about missing one of your two top tight ends, and if you're talking about Ricard potentially not being on the field, boy, that tests your ability and your propensity for heavy formations. Whether
Yeah,
you're
he's
talking about
underappreciated, right?
Yeah,
Like in a
oh.
general sense, because he's a special player. He's a chess piece that doesn't exist on most chessboards for most teams. And
No
certainly
doubt.
not within the framework of this offense, the way they still at the heart want to
Want to run the
move the
ball.
ball, like, but not just run it the way they even did in 2018. They'd like the power sweep things away and have a guy like Lamar, Derrick Henry, or Zay Flowers, somebody get the ball in space. He allows them to do something that most teams don't have a player like that, carry a player like that, and certainly not design an offense around a player like that for a decade now with Patrick Ricard. We're going back a decade.
Yeah, I mean, what, 2017? So, I mean, we're getting up on that, right? There's no question. So, we'll see. I mean, not a great sign when a player's not out there on a Wednesday when they've already missed, 2.5 weeks. I mean, he hasn't practiced since before that Dallas preseason game. So it's going to take a lot. It's going to take a major recovery and major progress for him to be out there Sunday night. Look, these are not excuses that this offense can't still function at a very high level. But when you're talking about what they like to do, the heavy formations, and it's not as though Ricard's on the field 100% of the
But they
snaps.
don't have a player that does that job, though. There's no
Yeah,
backup player to that. These are just plays that won't be in the playbook, right? Like, literally.
I mean, some of them, and keep in mind, I mean, it's not as though Ricard only lines up at fullback, and those are the ones you'd be talking about. But Charlie Kohler took a step forward last year as a blocking tight end. He did much more in that capacity, and when you consider no Isaiah Likely and potentially no Patrick Ricard, yeah, sure, they'll elevate a tight end, they'll elevate Zaire Mitchell-Payton probably just to play on special teams, but it'll be Charlie Kohler with a bigger workload doing some of the Likely stuff and some of the Ricard stuff, in kind of a hybrid role. And I also think it means they'll probably lean into a few more three wide receiver sets because that's why they got DeAndre Hopkins, right? So it's not a complete metamorphosis, but it certainly hinders their propensity for wanting to go heavy and wanting to go with two tight end sets. So again, that's not an excuse, and that's not to say that they can't move the ball. Buffalo's also banged up, and specifically, they are banged up in the secondary. Christian Benford, their top, number one corner. It's been limited with a groin injury. And Tre'Davious White, old friend, former Raven, who's back with the Buffalo Bills, he's missed the better part of 2 weeks with a groin injury. So you're talking about a Bills team that already some questions about their defense, right? I mean, that was their weakness last year. I mean, credit them. They did a good job against the Ravens and in terms of forcing turnovers in that playoff game. But we also know the Ravens didn't have issues moving the ball. They had issues taking care of the ball and finishing drives in that game. So, even in week one, both teams dealing with some injury concerns, and that always makes things a little spicier than what a typical week one is, just n knowing that there is so much unknown, there is so much that you really can't predict, as both these teams are preparing for a new season.
Luke Jones is joining us here. We are doing pre-football preparations around here for Sunday Night Football. One thing about running the football, you said that, passing sets, more three wide, all of that. It plays a lot better when it's 70 degrees in Buffalo than when it's 20 degrees in Buffalo, right? So in that particular case, to think that the Ravens are going to come out slinging it a little bit against the defense that has that issue with the weapons that they have in the offense. I mean, I'm always shocked when they don't run the ball when it's not Derrick Henry left, Derrick Henry right. But I would think they'll come out and test them on Sunday night and throw the football around a little bit and see if the Bills can stop it.
Well, I mean, they're certainly not afraid of doing that. I mean, Lamar Jackson had his first 4,000-yard passing season last year, right? So it's not as though they were anywhere close to where they were, say, in 2018, 19, 20 under Greg Roman, where, in those games, Lamar might only throw 20 times a game, right? I mean, I'll say this. I mean, if we just use the Bills on a very simplistic level, Lamar didn't throw a whole lot back in that week four game. Why? Because, well, Derrick Henry took it to the house on the first offensive play of the game and ran for 200 yards against them. I mean, so there's always the sense, even with this Ravens offense having evolved under Todd Monken the last couple of years, that if you don't come out and do a decent job against the run, they'll kill you. I mean, they just will. We know that, and I expect that to completely continue in 2025. But yeah, the
Well, that's
Ravens
about
are.
controlling down and distance, and we just see that with this offense, that doesn't matter. You know what I mean? They'll play four downs from anywhere on the field. So stopping them on first down and putting them in second and eight or second and 12 doesn't, it only stops them for a play. It only takes one play with
Sure.
these guys. I mean, and that's been the craziest part of this offense over the last 7 years.
No question. And I mean, even taking into account down and distance, and even looking at the Bills in that playoff game, Derrick Henry still had a good game. 16 carries for 84 yards and a touchdown, but they did a much better job containing him than what they did back in week four, where, as I said, I mean, the Ravens just ran all over them to the point where the game was kind of over by the third quarter. So,
You got to get them off the field. I
yeah.
mean, you got to get the Ravens off the field.
You have to get them off the field. And again, these same principles do apply to every offense. I mean, I think every offense, ideally, yeah, if you could run the ball, if you had Lamar Jackson, if you had Derrick Henry, throw Justice Hill and even Keaton Mitchell into that equation. Because I think, Keaton Mitchell isn't necessarily going to get a ton of touches, but I think they're going to try to sprinkle him in, every third series,
I
give him
would be
a
shocked if he doesn't touch the ball five times by Monday morning, right?
I mean,
Yeah.
I unless this game's gone very awry, very. In a very unusual way. I mean, yeah. I mean, I think they'd like to mix him in, but it's still about stopping a team on first down, keeping a team in second and long, keeping a team in third and long, right? Knocking a team off schedule. I mean, the Ravens, one of their biggest their kryptonite last year were penalties, right? I mean, they were so many of their mistakes were self-inflicted. When you look across the board at how good they were in, even by the end of the season on defense, how good they were, but they were still one of the most penalized teams in the league. And that's something that they're really trying to drill down on and be better about.
Well, that's what down and distance gets you off the field, is
Yeah,
when you make mistakes.
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And as I've said to you, I mean, even though they've been really good on third down, what do I always say? The best third down offense is what? They avoid third down altogether, right? Because they're so good on first and second down. And the Ravens have been that largely over the Lamar
Well,
Jackson
when they
era.
win, they
But
are. When they win, they are.
yeah. Well, and they do a lot of winning when Lamar's on the field. And obviously they're going to be in a hostile environment. You got to be sharp with your cadence. You're going to silent count. It's going to be very, very loud. It's the last opener in that place in Orchard Park, and certainly the Bills are going to be fired up. They're already, you could hear, just with Wednesday being the big media day, you could tell the Ravens were, all right, let's play this game. Mark, whether it's Mark Andrews hearing about Buffalo, whether it's Lamar hearing about Buffalo, Roquan Smith, I mean, there was kind of the common theme of, it's a new season, can't do anything about that. They've been hearing questions about Buffalo since,
Buffalo.
since that game, but especially then when the schedule comes out in mid-May and you say, hey, week one, Sunday Night Football in Buffalo. So I think everyone, and I think media and fans included, I think everyone's ready to play a football game.
Game of the week here, baby. It's a game
It's
of the
time.
week.
It's
Yeah.
time. Oh, no question. I mean, for as much as the pomp and circumstances in Philadelphia for the opener, the NFL opener, this is easily the best game of the week. I mean, it absolutely is. And we talked about this, we hyped this, in the divisional round last year, and I still remember vividly you and I talking about this, and everyone was saying it was a legacy game. It's like, well, hold on. Whoever the winner is, congratulations. You go to Kansas City to play Patrick Mahomes. So that is still, that cloud lingers and hovers over the entire AFC. But both these quarterbacks, I mean, you're talking about the last two MVPs in the league, just phenomenal talents, two guys that are very much on a slam dunk Hall of Fame path. With only one thing meaningful left to add to their respective legacies, it's to get to a Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl. So you can't do that on Sunday night, but as we've talked about in terms of the importance of seeding, playoff positioning, assuming there's a good chance you're going to run into each other again come January, Sunday night's immensely important in terms of wanting that game to be in your stadium, come January. So lots of excitement. I can't wait. I think this is a coin flip kind of game. I think the Ravens have the better roster top to bottom, 1-53, but the Bills are playing at home. The Bills have, a mental edge in the sense that they won the most recent meeting between these teams. But who knows, right? I mean, there's still so much unknown. You hear predictions throughout the week, and you can check out my thoughts at BaltimorePositive.com and all of that. I'm predicting the Ravens will win the division again, third straight time, first time in franchise history. But we also know that what? There's at least four new playoff teams every year in the NFL. You never quite know, right? I mean, there's you have requisites, you have your priors that you feel, and certainly there's sky high confidence for both these teams, but you never know, right? I mean, you don't know. That's why what Kansas City's done in recent years has been so impressive. That's why what the Patriots did, even with the questions about cheating baked in along the way, but what they did for the better part of two decades, I mean, it's extraordinary because we also know that there are the flashes in the pan. I mean, Washington, they make it to the NFC title game next year. If they don't make the playoffs this year, would anyone be that shocked? I mean, like, who knows, right? I mean, that's just how it is. And that's why the NFL is the ultimate theatrical experience in professional sports. And that's why it's everyone's favorite. It's why everyone will be tuned in the Red Zone throughout the day on Sunday, even if now, yes, they do include commercials, which certainly is a major bummer.
Yeah, how do they even do that? I guess I'm gonna have to learn on Sunday, but that's why the new season's here. Luke Jones is here. He is Baltimore Luke. He's been out in Owings Mills all week. Any breaking news will happen first on the WNST Tech Service, legendary, and brought to you by Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. My big thanks to GBMC, all of our sponsors for this season, Liberty Pure Solutions, of course, and of course the Maryland Lottery. We'll be back out on the 16th at the Beaumont doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. The Tastiness Countdown, brought to you by Curio Wellness, is alive and well. We're down to the top 10, so we'll be eating some good food here this week. Luke, you mentioned, let's get it going. Let's see how it goes. But we're going to get together Monday morning. It's either going to be 0-1 or 1-0. And that feels like the wildest ends of the spectrum. And I'm much more about crisp football. How do the older players look? How do any new players look? And the Ravens don't have a lot of that, but they have a few positional players where they've made some changes. Obviously, the offensive line is always going to be an issue for them. But there's something about counting up the losses. When you think you're going to be a 13-win team, a 14-win team, a 12-win team, an 11-win team, right? So the losses start to stack. They got those two early in the year last year. Certainly the second week, still inexplicable 51 weeks later. But it's hard to win in this league. And I look at that schedule and I see, well, the Browns are coming in next week. Joe Flacco is 100 years old. Fine, they play in the NFL too, and they might not lose this week. Who knows? And then the rest of the month, seeing where they're going to be in these quartiles that Brian Billick talked about. The 0-1 thing last year was dark, and then 0-2 got darker, and the lights came on, and they were fine. They had an injury-free year. They had too many penalties. All the things that happened. They had a five chances to win in Buffalo last year to push that thing along. They were good enough to go to the Super Bowl. They were good enough to win it. They haven't done it. But I just know how the momentum goes if they lose by decimal points on Sunday night, and especially when there's a goat. I mean, Mark Andrews back in January, a key fumble, just something that goes wrong in the game that swings a 1-3, 5-point game, the kicker, and anything that's a part of this. There's so many storylines in this, but the storyline really is Josh versus Lamar, and one of these guys is going to be 0-1 on Monday, and the Ravens are staring down a hell of a schedule the rest of the month. It's just this is an important must-win game on the road. Must win. You just don't want to be 0-1. Otherwise, it feels must win, and it feels, pressured for the Ravens that have not produced by and large in this era, but neither of the Bills.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's really important. It not in the sense of if you go 0-1, your season's over. I mean, we all understand that. 17 games, and last year, the most recent example of you start 0-2, and they still had no problem making the playoffs. They overtook Pittsburgh for the division, and obviously it helped that the Steelers collapsed down the stretch as well. But I think we all knew, or at least I certainly had my doubts about just
And
how
they have
good Pittsburgh.
another Hall of Fame quarterback this year. It's their second in a
Sure,
row.
sure. I mean, we're going to see how that looks. I mean, they're more interesting than they've been since Roethlisberger's mid-30s. I mean, I think Aaron Rodgers at least has the ability to be better than certainly Kenny Pickett a couple years ago,
Better
or
than Joe Flacco, if you want to be
Russell.
flippant, right? Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, they're both on the wrong side of 40. I mean, they're not Lamar or Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen, but hey, they used to be, somewhere fitting into that
What's that
category at
Toby
some
Keith
point.
song? I'm not much for country, but good as once as I once was or ever was, something like that.
But to go back to the schedule, I mean, obviously at Buffalo, home against Cleveland, and yes, that'll be perceived as a homecoming. I mean, literally a homecoming for Joe Flacco. First time he'll be playing in Baltimore. I mean, that's gonna be fun, right? I mean, regardless of how the game goes, that's gonna be fun in terms of the buildup. But home against Detroit, Monday Night Football, then you go to Kansas City for the following Sunday, so that'll be on a short week going to Arrowhead. Houston, who only won their division last year. And then the Rams, and then you have your bye week. In contrast, and this is something that I'd seen a few people point out, I kind of looked at it when the schedule came out, but the Bills after Sunday night at the Jets, home against Miami, home against New Orleans, which might be the worst team in football, home against New England, at Atlanta, then their bye, right? I mean, so contrast, compare
I
and
don't know.
contrast
There's a
those
playoff
two.
team in there. Is there in that pack?
I mean, I certainly don't
Yeah,
think the
go
Jets
ahead.
are.
Right. Yeah.
Miami, I mean, they're division opponents in the same way that the AFC North. I mean, hey, for all the making fun of the Browns that people do around here, the Browns beat the Ravens last year. The Browns beat the Ravens 2 years ago in Baltimore, right? With Deshaun Watson and Jameis Winston at quarterback. So you never really know. But yeah, I mean, New Orleans, New England. I think New England will be better. I'm not ready to put them in the playoffs. And at Atlanta, I mean, Atlanta. What does Penix look like? I mean, that's the big question there.
Well,
So,
that's your point on Buffalo. Is it they should be 6-0 in their division.
I
They're
mean,
good enough to be that way. Then maybe the Ravens could be 6-0 in the division. Never works out that way in the division. But you talk about Kansas City. The Chargers were coming and then they're not. People think Denver's coming, but who knows? I mean, it's more about giveaway games that if Buffalo can get over the Ravens, they could be 6-0, to your point, right? And the Ravens might be 3-3 at that point. Just lucky to get there by the time we get to Columbus Day, and that's. The scheduling's really a thing. And when you're in a division, I mean, New England benefited from this for 15 years.
sure.
The other three teams just stunk, you know?
Right. No question. And again, I think New England under Vrabel, I think they're going to be better. I kind of like their quarterback. I think Drake May quietly was solid last year. He just had nothing around him. I even watched him play. I think it was week 17, I think it was. And you could tell. I mean, he just offensive line didn't have skill players, but like he looked competent. He looked like, hey, there's something there. So we'll see. I mean, again, it's so much unknown, but yeah, you look at Buffalo's schedule, and you compare that and contrast that to the Ravens and Kansas City. If I was handicapping it, and that's why this game on Sunday night's so important. I would kind of be inclined to say Buffalo should have the inside track on paper in terms of scheduling to be that number one seed. I mean, again, after this week one game, they play Kansas City November 2nd. They have them in Buffalo. They have Tampa Bay at home in mid-November. They go to Houston in late November, the week before Thanksgiving. They go to Pittsburgh November 30th, but then they finish up Cincinnati at New England, at Cleveland, home against Philadelphia. All right, defending world champions, and then home against the Jets. I mean, that's not a schedule where you look at that and say that there's going to be a ton of losses there.
Yeah, I can see
To
12,
your point.
13 wins there if they stay healthy,
Yeah.
right? Yeah.
So, and again, who knows? This is also our priors here. Some of those teams I just mentioned might end up being really good compared to what they were last year. And we also know that there will be teams that fall off. But for the Ravens, I mean, these first 6 weeks will not determine whether they're a playoff team or not, but it very well could determine how seriously they're in the mix to be the number one seed. I mean, that's just 0-2 last year cost them any realistic shot of being the number one seed because Kansas City started what 15-1. They rested their starters in week 17 and lost, but they were 15-1 prior to
But they were
that. So,
lucky.
I mean, they're the most prepared, luckiest team ever, right? I mean, you made a point a few minutes ago, and it's so apropos when you're talking about the Chiefs. You talked about not losing games, right? You talked about not giving it away, not doing the things to shoot yourself in the foot that, frankly, the Ravens,
Like
when they,
leading the league in penalties, leading the
well,
world in penalties a little,
frankly,
right?
the Ravens, and they haven't done it. They've won a lot, right? I mean, it's a credit to them, how talented they are,
Because they can
how
get
good.
themselves out of first and
But
25.
Kansas City, and look, Kansas City was so, it was uncanny, especially last year, right? How many one-score games they won last year. I'm guessing, and there's been a lot of talk and chatter in Kansas City. Obviously, they use some meaningful resources to upgrade their offensive line. They've talked a lot about wanting to push the ball downfield a little bit more. They went from the Tyreek Hill era where Mahomes is chucking it 40 yards downfield every other play, it felt like, to just being underneath, underneath, underneath. So they're trying to do more of that, but they were just unbelievable last year in terms of not shooting themselves in the foot and then their opponent finding a way to constantly shoot themselves in the foot. So can they sustain that degree of it again? Or do they need to get back to being a little more explosive on offense? I think it's the latter, but that's also saying, hey, Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and their front office, their coaching staff, they've had an entire offseason to recognize that. But that's if you're the Ravens, you got to view it through the lens of, all right, Buffalo's schedule, how many games are they going to lose over the course of the season? Kansas City, you say that every year. So they've got to start fast. And it starts with getting a win on the road on Monday night. You do that, then don't get me wrong, shouldn't be getting ahead of ourselves and anyone talking about going undefeated or 16-1 or anything like that. But man, it puts you on the path to one, feeling super confident about yourselves, and two, you've already have that head-to-head tiebreaker with Buffalo in your bag, right? I mean, you bank that after one game, and that's valuable. But you
Well,
look at
also
that.
the thought that they're not going to be 6-0 in the middle of October, no matter
Yeah.
how good they are. And if they are that good, they still can't win the Super Bowl in October and make it even worse in January. But it would put them in a position to, yeah, you want to host the AFC Championship game, no matter how much pressure it brings. You want to do that. But this schedule is problematic in the beginning, and they are lucky they're as healthy as they are, right? So we at least begin this by saying they're getting the full complement of players out at this important juncture in the season where a 3-3 start wouldn't be good. It just would, because somebody's going to be 5-1.
Yeah, I mean a 3-3 start, again, in no way or shape or form does that truly jeopardize their ability to make the playoffs or their ability to win the division, in my mind.
But if your
But
three losses are Bills, Chiefs, Rams, that
yeah,
makes sense. That I mean, it makes sense that you would lose to those teams because other teams aren't playing this kind of schedule. And that's not crying for the Ravens. That's just the reality of what their task is. And their task is at Buffalo Sunday night. And MVP versus MVP, the league set it up. And Somebody's going to be 0-1 on Monday, and that's the way the league designs it, you know?
Yeah, unless we get that rare instance of a tie, which no one wants that, right? So, but on the flip side, if you can get to your bye week at 4-2, you know, something like that, where you're off to a good start, you're feeling really good about yourselves, then Bears at home, at Miami, Thursday night game. So, you know, Thursday night road games are tricky. At Minnesota, that figures to be a challenging part of their second half schedule. You know, I guess technically not second half, but post bye schedule. At Cleveland, so they have three straight road games, so that's, you know, that's tricky. There's no doubt about that. But then home against the Jets, home against the Bengals on Thanksgiving, home against Pittsburgh, so you've got some home cooking there. And then you have, you know, we've talked about the beginning of the schedule, the end of the schedule, at Cincinnati, home against New England, and at Green Bay, at Pittsburgh. So three of four on the road, three of, you know, those three games being against teams that I think we'd at least say playoff contenders, right? I mean,
Well, they better
whether
be ahead of schedule by the time they see Cincinnati and Pittsburgh, because you
sure.
don't just drift off to those games and think that they're going to be pushover games, because, you know, the 6-0s in division don't happen. I mean, I'll give them Cleveland next week. They'll
Yeah.
beat Flacco.
Yeah.
You know, I'm good. That's
And they
the good news is
better win that game.
Monday morning you lose by decimal points. We at least come back and say even it up against Cleveland, and then get back on it. And hopefully you're dusting off and you're not injured on Monday. But this is just a treacherous way to start the season. That's all. You know, let the treachery begin, really.
Yeah, and again, I mean, everyone's going to have their games. As I said, I mean, okay, Buffalo's schedule on paper. Yeah, I mean, they for them, it kind of seems like no excuse not to be excellent this year. They're another team, right? I mean, we've talked a lot about the Ravens with home field. I mean, the Ravens have had home field twice in the last 6 years. I mean, they stubbed their toe with their two opportunities to have home field, right? And in 19, they didn't even make it to the AFC Championship game being hosted in Baltimore. 2 years ago, of course, the Chiefs came in. But Buffalo, think about the success they've had in the regular season against Kansas City. But come January, they're always playing at Arrowhead, right? So if I'm a Bills fan looking at that schedule, this is the year to be the number one seed, right? I mean, if you don't do it this year, then you question when it'll ever happen.
Well, I mean, I
And this
talked to Vic Carucci, all my Buffalo Mafia this week. You can find that at Baltimore Positive or listen here at WNST. This is the end of the stadium there, so you're going to hear that from the beginning of the game Sunday through the end of it. And is it the last Ravens visit? Well, maybe they'll be here again in January in Orchard Park or whatever. And that stadium's such a hole. I mean, there's nothing to recommend that stadium in any way to go see it before they rip it down or anything. But to Buffalonians, thinking about the last game in that stadium being a winnable playoff game is very, very realistic. You know, imagine if we were shutting down Memorial Stadium here all over
Sure.
again and had a chance to be a 12, 13, 14 win team, and knowing you're expecting to have a playoff, at least a playoff game in January. You can't expect to have more than that because you have to win the first one to have a second one or a third one, right? But in this particular case, the fan base expectation there for this season, the storybook part of this, all that goes back to OJ and Scott Norwood and Jim Kelly and just all of that, they've never won. So it's just a different level of fandom, and it's a different way of life. I know you went to school with Syracuse 30 years ago, and they still haven't won. You know, they haven't won. So this closing the stadium, there's just a lot of emotion about it, I think. And it's always a tough place to play, cold or warm. I mean, it's going to be loud up there on Sunday night, and their fans are foaming at the mouth to host an AFC Championship game, win it, win a Super Bowl.
No question. And what the weather, I think I saw it's going to be around 60 degrees, you know, as the game goes on Sunday night. So it's going to be cool, but certainly not January weather in Buffalo. So you have that. But yeah, I mean, they're looking at that schedule. They're looking at where the Bills have been in the same way the Ravens have been in that same category, right? Coming up short against Kansas City, coming up short against Kansas City. I mean, the Ravens come up short against Buffalo in January, even after beating the pants off of them back in week 4 last year. But they're looking at that and they're saying, hey, this is our year to be the number one seed. This is our year to host an AFC championship game. This is our year to get back to a Super Bowl for the first time in 3+ decades. You know, they've got the reigning MVP. The Ravens have the man that they feel should have been the reigning MVP, you know, in my opinion, should have been as well. But man, week 1, this is fun. I mean, 2 years in a row, right?
Let's play football.
you're
Let's go.
playing the team that ended your previous season. I mean, it's challenging, especially playing on the road, but that's also, man, that's what the NFL loves, right? The theater of it. And certainly it figures to be theater on Sunday night, as both these teams have sky-high expectations and neither one wants to start 0-1.
Injury reports, breaking news, Pat Ricard, Jaire Alexander, all at WNST on the WNST Tech Service. All of it brought to you by Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. Back on the grid, we got the Buffalo Bills, and it is football season around here. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on the 16th at the Beaumont in Catonsville. I'll be joined by Pat Young, Councilman Pat Young, who's going to be running for Baltimore County Executive as well. Plenty of things going on. I'm eating lots of food. All that brought to you by our friends at Curio Wellness. Luke will be monitoring all things Buffalo on Sunday night. We're looking forward to getting ready for some football. He's Luke. I'm Nestor. We are WNSD, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore positive.